You're listening to The Music Show on RN. While you're at the website, of course, you can also download episodes or segments from episodes, and you can carry us around on your phone and listen to us anytime you like. Sylvan Esso have just put out their second album, and it's jolly good, and they've come in to talk about it, but we thought we might introduce them with the big hit from their first album. It's called Coffee. Coffee, and that was Sylvan Esso. It came from their first album from, well, 4 years ago now, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the music show Sylvan Esso, who consists of Amelia Meath and Nicholas Sanborn. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
This duo, let's go back to the beginning if we can for a moment. It came about because you, Amelia, asked Nick to have a go at remixing something you'd done with Mountain Man.
Indeed.
And that's probably quite a good way to assess somebody, isn't it? Give them a bit of your work and see what they do with it.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So was that what it was? Was it like a test?
I was asking a couple different people to do it. Mostly what I realized is that I really cared about what Nick did with it. And it took him a really long time. It took him a year.
Okay.
But once I'd gotten him to do it, to actually do it, the remix was quite good. And it actually, that remix made our first record. It was the song Play It Right.
Mm. Mm. Did you know you were auditioning, Nick?
No. No, not at all. And it took me a long time because I had done a lot of remixes at that point. But most of the time when you do a remix, you're given the different parts of a song, including the acapella, and then by making a new instrumental or changing how the vocals sit, you naturally put yourself into the mix and change what's happening. Mm-hmm. But with Mountain Man, they were primarily an acapella band, so the whole song was an acapella, which meant that anything I did to it kind of felt like subtraction by addition, and I kept feeling I was just kind of rudely inserting myself into a song that didn't need me in the first place. And so it wasn't until I figured out this kind of light in the attic turned on, I saw the way that I could make the song do what it felt like it wanted to do the whole time, and express myself through that it really kind of came together.
But what you're saying sounds almost like a description of Sylvan Esso. I mean, because listening to the albums, it seems to me that Amelia's voice is central always, and that you're finding ways of displaying it or setting it off or indeed just taking it and using it and pulling it into your own technology.
Well, I'm just obviously a big fan of Amelia's. So I think anytime that she sings me something she's written, the first thing I'm thinking is, well, how can I display this in a way that highlights to somebody what it is that I love about it? Mm. And how can I bring those things out and bring out all of the counter melodies that she suggests with her main line and do that in such a way that if the main part is taken away, then the whole song doesn't make any sense.
You use, I mean, let's just, before we talk about the new album, that song Coffee, the sounds on it are often quite low-tech, even though you're using high-tech to produce the record, and that little glockenspiel sound, for instance.
Oh, yeah, that's a child's xylophone.
Yeah, and you can hear the plunk.
Yeah, I love the plunk.
Yeah. But so it's sort of going back to the idea of musique concrète, I suppose, isn't it, where you actually have actual real things, found musical objects, which you then deal with in a technical way, technological way.
Well, I think it's so easy now to erase all of the mistakes and to polish away the evidence of human interaction with a recording. And that's just not, I'm not interested in that at all. I think the most interesting music to me right now is where you feel the friction between the person and the machine, mm-hmm. where you can tell that it's been electronically produced or sequenced in such a way that it wasn't maybe naturally, the whole thing wasn't naturally played by a band.
Indeed.
But you also feel that it's deeply imperfect in the way that we are. You know, that I think that's way more interesting to me than something being auto-tuned and quantized and perfect.
In fact, in most songs now, people are editing out breathing, the breathing of singers, which I find to be very alarming.
Well, the breathing is often one of the most interesting aspects. It's what gives the voice expression, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, and because of that, I mean, how many songs do you listen to right now where if you try to sing them, it's almost impossible because they've edited it in such a way where there isn't any room for breath.
It's true. I've train wrecked many a karaoke session.
Also, you can end up quite breathless listening to those songs because you breathe with them. You breathe with the music, and if the breaths have been removed from the music, you tend to end up holding your breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not good for you. Do the songs tend to begin with you, Amelia? Do you have an idea for a song or a phrase or a melodic line or indeed an entire tune? And take it to Nick, or do they sometimes start the other way around?
They start in all sorts of different ways. Once in a blue moon, I'll have a whole song, but that only happens like twice a record. Usually it looks kind of like a game of ping pong where either Nick has a beat that he gives to me or I have a hook or a phrase or a bridge part or something, and we just toss it back and forth between each other until through a process of collage, we build a song, and then we work on the energetic structure of that song.
Yeah, it's like we have these little tiny pieces that we know that there's something in. We know there's a whole song in them, but we can't see it right away. And so we kind of, you know, each add a little thing and toss it at each other, and most of the things we add are wrong, and that kind of helps steer you in the right direction.
Yeah, doesn't that help? It's most helpful to have each other to say, like, wrong.
But there's nothing wasted in these tracks. There's no sense of doesn't need that. I mean, because there's actually often so little going on that every sound is crucial, it seems to me.
Yeah, we're definitely not maximalists.
No.
And I think we're also very ready to mute something. Mm-hmm. I think the minute you add something and then realize that taking it away, the song's better, is kind of when you realize you're almost done with the song, you know?
One of our guiding principles with this band in general is that we didn't want to make records that had any filler in them, which is something that we were really used to with the records and CDs that we bought when we were kids. Usually there was a single, maybe an extra one, and then the rest was covers. 20 tracks of covers.
Yes.
Or just songs you could tell that they had not spent nearly as long on.
Exactly. So when we decided to have a band, we wanted to make 10-track records where each track added to what we wanted to say.
And that kind of extends to the arrangements themselves.
And to the titles, sound, radio, song, signal. There's four tracks.
Yeah.
let's listen to sound. Let's listen to the beginning of sound. This is how the new album starts. Thank you. That's the beginning of the latest album from Sylvan Esso. The album's called What Now? And that's called simply Sound. And it sounds as though Amelia's voice is kind of emerging from the machine. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that song was one of the first ones that we wrote for the record. And right when we finished it, we knew it had to be the first song. And that sound that you're hearing is an old, half-broken Korg MS-20, which is this old synthesizer. And Amelia's voice is setting the pitch of the synthesizer. So it's...
In real time.
In real time, yeah. So that clicking is the lowest pitch it can make, and then it jumps up to when she sings. And the minute we found that tone, it kind of showed us this way forward where we... Like, that sound to me is both of us wrapped up in this one moment. And on top of that, it's this kind of statement of purpose, you know? The machine itself is imperfect. And also, it's almost the reverse of auto-tune. You know, her voice is tuning...
You're tuning it.
The entire song, all the synthesis in that is reacting to her voice, not the other way around.
Yes.
We wanted her to kind of emerge from this haze.
Yeah, yeah. You've got... On the album, there are... Maybe let's talk about the second track, which is more of an obvious song, in the kind of accepted sense of the word. The Glow. Listening to your work and actually also watching the videos, it seems to me that for all the newness of the technology, there's a sort of cloud of nostalgia hanging over your songs. And this is another example. I mean, Coffee was an example with Tommy James and the Shondells. But this is an example too, I think. Can you talk about that, Amelia? Am I right?
Maybe, yeah. That might not be something I want to admit necessarily, but I suppose so, in that The Glow is about the feeling that we all got when we were 14. Mm. And found a record or a song that where we realized that we weren't alone.
You know? Yes.
And I think that's a feeling that musicians are constantly fighting to get back to or to create for other people. So that's why we made that the second track on the record.
And it starts with that sound that strikes terror into the heart of any radio presenter.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but indeed.
It was strange when that sound came up. That's my parents' old CD player skipping. And I realized when I was at my parents' house and that started happening that I now hear that sound as music. I hear it as this comforting, nostalgic sound. It's imbued with all this meaning that it didn't have when I was younger. Before it was just, oh no, the CD's broken. But now I just realized I was hearing it as its own instrument, as this kind of approaching arcane sound that you know, younger people don't even know was a sound anymore.
But see, we're being nostalgic about the CD as well, aren't we?
Yeah, which, I mean, I think for both of us was part of the formative era of our listening to music. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the format for my adolescence. I remember it very well. It's weird. It brought me back to like growing up in Wisconsin, which is kind of in the north of the United States, and it's very cold. And I remembered that there was a certain kind of skipping that my Discman in my car would do if it had been out all night in the freezing.
Well, I remember that, yeah.
And it was this one particular sound that CD players was making. And when she wrote this song, it seemed like those ideas fit together.
I think we should listen to it.
So tall, and Avi so fair, and Dina so beautiful, pretending not to care. And I remember the glow, oh, oh. Yeah, I remember the glow, oh, oh. In my headphones, after school and slightly stoned.
And that was The Glow, which is a track from the latest album from Sylvan Esso. What Now? You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and Sylvan Esso are my guests, Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn. Do you think about categories, genre, much, Amelia?
I try not to. I find that genre in general can be kind of limiting, unless you're thinking about like a genre that's way too rote, like pop.
Mm, yeah, or even electronica, which sort of says everything and nothing about your work.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no one likes being labelled. What about you, Nick?
I find it to be unhelpful as a creator of things, just because I feel like the worst music I've ever made is the music where I decided what it was going to be before I made it.
Yeah.
It's kind of insulting to the nature of ideas to do that to something you're about to make.
And it's limiting as well, isn't it? Because having decided you're this sort of musician, then you can't really be that sort.
Yeah, I mean, who's any one thing? I also think it kind of, I mean, if the job is to, you know, distill the human emotional experience into these between 2 minute and hour long experiences, then limiting what parts of the human experience you can inject into that, I think is kind of a silly idea, or it's a bad starting place at least.
We've been talking about the technology quite a bit, and if you go to YouTube, you find Hey Mommy being performed with a bunch of brass players on a roof somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, no technology really in sight. And there's a lovely clip also of you doing Slackjaw, which we're going to finish with piano in a studio. And normally when people, you know, do their new songs with just piano in a studio, it's a matter of paring it down. But in this case, you're actually filling out what isn't there on the album itself. So did the songs continue to evolve, I suppose, is my question.
I don't think that the songs necessarily continue to evolve, but I think that in order to have a good song, you should have a song that can be played within many different genres. And so that's the goal, I think.
I don't think we ever want a song we write to be tied to a sound that we made. I think that would be...
Also, all of the greatest artists of our time flitted between genres and ideas and sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sounds that you use hopefully can help point somebody in the right direction of the meaning or the emotional center of the song that you wrote. But if they're integral to that song being performed or sung, I think that kind of feels like a failure to me, based on just on our goals, at least.
Agreed.
Well, I'm glad you're in agreement. That's Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn, who together are Sylvan Esso. Thank you very much for being
my guest so
on
for
the music
us.
Show. And let's listen to Slackjaw, which is from the album What Now?
I got all the parts I wished for. I got everything I need. Sometimes I'm above water, but mostly I'm at sea. Oh, slackjaw me, can't you see? There's so many rhythms and harmonies, and I'm walking the dog back. It's not like I got hurt or broken or ruined on the way. It's an ache and it shines through me, a swallow in a cage.
Sylvan Esso and Slackjaw from their album What Now, and you can find them at the Laneway Festival this weekend in Brisbane and Fremantle.